Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the Chris and Amy show till the Gas House Gang happens at 12 o'clock. And we were talking about this, geez, that was over a year ago that we were talking about the Missouri film tax incentive, hoping the state would pass something like that to foster more films and television shows to be produced here in the state of Missouri, like they are in Georgia, for example, which has become over the last 15 years or so pretty big hotbed for the film and TV industry. And to talk more about how that tax incentive is benefiting the state of Missouri, Andrea Sporcik-Klund is the director of the Missouri Film Office and with us now on KMOX. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
So this tax incentive has been approved for a while now. How is it doing for the state and what sort of benefit are we seeing?
So it passed in 2023, and right away we had one big project and one little project. So you may have heard of Soul on Fire, the film that's still, I think, in theaters. That was the first feature film to utilize the tax credit. And the producers were already ready to go to Vancouver in Canada. Oh my gosh, they would have shot a St. Louis story in Canada. What? Mm-hmm. No! Yeah. So luckily, we were able to flip it back and get it here.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I actually was going to ask you about filming in Canada and how the tax credits now in the state of Missouri compare with those in Canada, because, you know, rather famously, Hallmark, which is based in Kansas City, Missouri, films all of their movies in Canada.
They do shoot a lot of them, but they have shot two here now.
Okay.
Last year, they shot the Chiefs love story holiday touchdown. And then this year, we doubled, actually, for Tennessee. There's a new Christmas movie that's coming out where you'll see Kansas City again with Hallmark.
So these are a couple of projects, and we know that Ted Lasso, which is a hugely popular show on Apple TV, and nationally popular, I guess,
yes,
internationally too. I mean,
yeah,
that show did so well, and parts of it were filmed in Kansas City for the new season coming up.
Yes, we're very excited. The first episode of season 4 was shot in Kansas City, and it was a big production. They were there for, I think, 3 weeks total, if you count prep and wrap. It was great. And then we can't wait to see Kansas City on the TV screen soon.
How do the tax credits, I guess just for some context, how do they break
yes
down for movies versus a television show and, you know, how much they're getting breaks, let's say, in production, right, and crew
sure
costs?
Sure. There are two numbers that matter kind of right now. So there's the cap, how much you have available for film and television, and then what percentage you get back of what you spent in the state. So our percentage is very competitive. We're competitive with Canada. We're one of the highest in the U.S. You can get up to 42% of what you spend back in the form of a tax credit. Basically, a tax credit is like a coupon for your Missouri tax liability. So if you owed $40,000 in taxes, you could utilizes tax credit to offset your taxes. And a lot of these projects come from other places. They don't have a Missouri tax liability, so they're selling those to Missouri companies, basically, that will utilize it.
So how does this work? Does a project come to the state and say, we are looking to do this, what can you offer us? Is it the sort of thing where the state finds out that a project is in the works and then reaches out to that company, the production company, saying, hey, why don't you do it here? How does it work?
both of those ways work. So we have relationships with industry folks. My target audience has always been Missourians in the film industry in LA and in New York and all over, because they are the most likely to want to bring a project back home. So we have one of them shooting right now. Jacob Beats Up Nate is currently filming in St. Louis. And the director, Jason Lee, graduated from Vianney High School, went to California, is now an actor out there, pretty successful, and brought this feature film back to St. Louis.
Yeah, and specifically, this film is in line for $1.2 million in tax credits, which would be the seventh largest award so far. And he was interviewed by the Post-Dispatch, Jason Lee was, and he said that there was no way he could have made this movie in St. Louis without the tax credit and grant. He said he would have been forced to shoot somewhere else, so he's glad that he got to film it here.
Yes, we're all glad that he got to shoot it here. So they they apply and they fill out, you know, what they think their estimated spend is going to be, and they answer a bunch of questions, and then they get an approval letter for an amount of tax credit. But we don't give the tax credit till they've already filmed, they've already spent the money, they've shot everything, and then there's an audit, and then they would get the tax credit. So that's kind of how that works.
There have been arguments made, and we are talking with Andrea Sporcik-Klund, director of the Missouri Film Office. There have been arguments made that there's a pretty low return on investment for states that do something like this, that offer the tax credits. And in Missouri, it's capped at $16 million per year. So if when you hear that there just isn't much reason to do this because the incentives for the state to do it are pretty low and maybe actually costly, how do you respond to that?
I think that's a fiscal impact. So if you're just looking at fiscal impact, the state dollars out and state taxes back in, that can lead to those smaller numbers. But the economic impact of paying Missouri crews and companies, there is an economic value for sure. That's induced spending, money that would not have been brought to Missouri at all. So I do think that there is an economic benefit. And additionally, when these films come out, there's so much more excitement generated and a coolness factor that I don't think mm-hmm. you can put a number on.
Well, and that's the thing. So obviously, California has a pretty big cap. Theirs is $750 million. Hawaii limits its credit to $50 million. Missouri caps annual film tax credits at $16 million. And interestingly, Georgia, which we've talked about a lot with all the filming that's going on there, has no limit on its incentive. And I feel like the fact that, you know, Hawaii, you would think, doesn't need people, you know, it doesn't need exposure. It's like this tropical paradise having a $50 million limit, and Georgia saying no limit at all, that states are realizing there are extra fiscal benefits, or I should say benefits other than fiscal for their state.
I agree. Yep, I definitely agree. And even in Oklahoma, they've still got, I think, 40 million,
wow.
40 or 50 million. So that's what we're competing against. All of those things that you just rattled off are all of our competitors. I'm hopeful that we can. This is only the third year that we've had the tax credit incentive, and I do believe we're going to utilize all of the $16 million this year. So that's helpful when the legislature looks at it and says, is this even being used? We can say, yes, it definitely is. 49 projects have been approved so far in 2025.
So what sort of legislative action would need to happen to raise that number or to eliminate a cap altogether?
You can find all of the legislative information on filminmo.com. That's the nonprofit advocacy group that really works with a lobbyist to change the tax credit incentive. So that's where you would go to find that stuff.
And I know that there were tax credits previously, and that expired in 2013, so there were no film tax credits until this most recent piece of legislation. Who was it, Film in Mo, you know, particularly, who was pushing this cause to get tax credits again? And who did you find supportive in the state?
Yep. So we went 10 years. So I was here with the last incentive through the long, dark 10 years of not having an incentive. And now again, I would say that there was pending legislation every year for 10 years. So I do think that the Film MO organization did help push it over the line. I think it did. It just took a lot of educating, and we're still educating folks that commercials can use this, unscripted projects can use this. There's all kinds of different things that can utilize this and bring money into the state.
So what is the pitch like whenever you are trying to attract a project to come here and film it here as opposed to going somewhere else like Georgia?
Well, it helps when you've had like a big film like Soul on Fire, because that shows that we had the crew to pull that off, that we have an infrastructure, we're building our infrastructure. Ted Lasso is going to be a great commercial to the industry that Kansas City has what it takes, that you can film there. So all of this is, I think right now the industry is so tightening its belt and trying not to, trying to have reasonable budgets, and every little bit helps them to be able to make this happen.
Is there anything else in the pipeline, any other projects that maybe we have not heard about yet?
Well, we have several reality shows that are on Amazon. You can see A Different Breed that's shot outside of St. Louis at the Purina facility. And you can see Ozark Law on A&E, both season one and now season two has applied for a tax credit. And then there's McBee's Dynasty up in northern Missouri on Bravo.
All right. Sounds good. I mean, we're glad that it's attracted some projects here, because I do agree on this point that maybe there is a coolness factor of Missouri mm-hmm. that is lacking. And so anything we can do to help that, because I think it does, it helps raise the profile of the state. At least I think so.
I think so, too.
Andrea Sporcik-Klund, director of the Missouri Film Office. We appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Anytime, I'll come back.
Awesome. Well, we'd love
you.
To have
we'd
you
love
back.
To have you.
And if you need if you need us in a movie, we're both in the union. So.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Yeah. Good to know.
I forgot.
I'll put
you're
you on
right.
the list.
Yes. Thank you. We are already in the union. We're ready to go.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Is there anything else we need other than to be in the union?
I'll contact your agents. We'll do lunch.
I guess we need agents, Ron.
That's what always happens.
We need to get
She's brushing
agents.
Us off. Yeah. We'll do lunch. I know what that means. Thank you,
Thank
Andrea.
You.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
It is kind of cool that Ted Lasso, at least one of the episodes, is filmed in Missouri.
Yeah.
So we're not going to say.
Antiques Roadshow? Was at Grant's Farm?
Here's what we'll do. Okay. We won't say that it was filmed in Kansas City. We'll just say it was filmed in Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri is fine. You don't need to be any more specific than Missouri.
Like, we can kind of claim it. The same mm-hmm. way we claim the Chiefs, we're going to claim all of Kansas City's film projects.
Well, okay, yes, I will say claiming the Chiefs is a little bit more difficult because they have the words Kansas City mm-hmm. in their name, but the film projects, it's just Missouri. It's Missouri tax yeah. credits.
And obviously they filmed in Kansas City because, Jason Sudeikis is from
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
so he has an attachment to the city.
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing that they do every year? All the celebrities
yes.
who are from KC, like Heidi Gardner.
It's the festival, because I ran.
They do it every year.
So the Hospital Hill.
Big Slick, is that what it's called?
Yes, the Hospital Hill Half Marathon. It's like the first week of June, last weekend of May, whatever. But I ran that half marathon, and that is part of the Big Slick, which raises money for the Children's Hospital in Kansas City. And oh my gosh, all the celebrities were there.
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, Ronj, you like to take the train.
Love it.
To Chicago.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a high-speed train?
Oh, my God. You have no idea. Get there in 45 minutes.
There's a high-speed train in Florida called the Bright Line.
Yep.
However, it is also called the Death Train.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more about this.
Yeah, really weird story. It's in the Atlantic. We'll talk about it next on the Chris and Amy Show. Okay, I saw this story in the Atlantic. I don't want to brag, but I'm a subscriber to the Atlantic.
Wow.
And things are going pretty well for me. But they saw this story about a high-speed train in Florida called the Bright Line. It's not like the Japanese high-speed trains that go, 200 miles an hour?
Oh, that's what I want.
But it can hit like 125. Mm. That's pretty fast. So it's a really interesting story, kind of apropos of nothing. But here's the headline and the lead. A death train is haunting South Florida. The Bright Line has been hailed as the future of high-speed rail in the United States, but it has one big, unignorable problem. Do you know what that is, Ronj? What do you think that one big unignorable problem is?
People keep stepping in front of it.
It keeps hitting people.
Oh.
So what the Brightline, as the story continues, is best known for is not that it reflects the gleam of the future, but the fact that it keeps hitting people. According to Federal Railroad Administration data, the Brightline has been involved in at least 185 fatalities since 2017.
Okay.
That's not that long. 148
That's
of those.
That's 8 years.
148 of those fatalities were believed not to be suicides, so 37, they think. Last year, the train hit and killed 41 people. By comparison, the Long Island Railroad, the busiest commuter line in the country, hit and killed 6 people last year. So the Long Island Railroad runs 947 trains a day.
Ooh.
The Brightline runs 32 trains a day. The Brightline killed 41 people. Brightline's accident rate per million is more than double that of the next highest. So the next highest is the Metra commuter train in Chicago.
Yep.
They have 18.4. That's accident rate per million miles, 18.4. The Brightline is 43.8.
And there are a lot of those, the Metra trains.
Yeah.
They go right through in a lot of the suburbs, like right through these little downtown areas mm-hmm. where people are crossing the street. And, you know, I don't understand how it happens so often where somebody walks out in front of one,
yeah.
just completely not paying attention. I don't know how it happens.
So this summer, the Miami Herald and Florida NPR station published an investigation, and it showed that someone is killed by the Brightline train on average, once every 13 days. So they're trying to find out why. I went down a dark YouTube rabbit hole where it's just a 12-minute video of cars getting hit by the Brightline train. Like mm-hmm. they just drive over the tracks. So they're trying to figure out why this happens. And, quote, specifically, these comments invoke the concept of the Florida man, a long-standing meme that suggests the state is, in essence, full of morons.
Yeah, okay. And I would buy that.
Here's a quote.
I would buy that.
I think the concept of Florida man is real, he said. Unfortunately, we are dealing with a lot of people that don't understand self-preservation.
I'll tell you what.
Is that really? Is it come down to that?
Maybe that's exactly the reason.
This is. I highly recommend the piece because it is not as simple as the Florida man, but it's a long piece by Caitlin Tiffany about the death train. Like I said, it's apropos of nothing that we have talked about really at all this year, except it's just so interesting that all these people keep getting killed by this train, and sometimes it's just people walking across the tracks. And the reporter did say that at one point they were looking one way where a freight train was coming, and the Brightline was coming so quickly the reporter turned around and he said he had seconds to get out of the way. He didn't see it or hear it.
I think there's only one real solution here.
Okay.
They need to go faster, because the faster they go, they're past you really quickly, and you don't have an opportunity to jump in front of them, you know?
So it's almost reverse psychology.
That's right.
They're going too slow because people have time to step on the tracks.
I think this is a brilliant idea. And one of our text messages, the 314-436-7900, says that no high-speed train. We need a trolley. Now, let me ask you this question.
High-speed trolley.
Would you rather there be a high-speed trolley in the Del Mar Loop? Or would you rather there be a slow trolley that takes you to Chicago? And it takes 15 hours to get
That's
there.
That's a great question. A 314 said the St. Louis trolley has killed 3 squirrels.
Well,
it's sad.
It's really sad. Do we know their names?
Man, I really... A high-speed trolley through the loop, which is so unnecessary, or a 15-hour trolley to Chicago.
I'm going to think about that, because I'm not exactly sure.
It
is a horrible idea. All right, so we are all freaking out about artificial intelligence stealing our jobs. Well, a Goldman Sachs CEO is not buying that. They think it'll be just fine. We're going to talk to CBS business reporter Matt Egan about that and get his take. Are we going to lose our jobs to artificial intelligence? That's next on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you might be worried about AI. I might be worried about AI. But the CEO of Goldman Sachs, I don't think he's freaking out.
Well, I'm convinced.
You feel better?
Yeah.
Listen, you know me. I'm not a honk for AI. I'm notepad and pencil, but it's moving forward. It's changing the landscape, especially for white-collar workers. However, despite many people in a full-on panic, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, David Solomon, says, just everybody calm down. And to give us a little bit more insight into why he might be saying that is Matt Egan, CBS business reporter. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Chris and Amy, thank you for having me.
All right. So maybe to kind of set the table with this quote from David Solomon, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, saying, okay, you don't need to freak out. We're not going to lose a lot of jobs. Everything is going to be okay. Why did he say that, and what is his reasoning when so many people in the office world, corporate America, are worried that AI might render their jobs irrelevant?
Yeah, Amy, you're right. There is a lot of fear right now around AI and jobs, and some of that is warranted. I mean, there has been a series of AI-linked mass layoffs and downsizings, right? Amazon, Meta, Salesforce, YouTube, I could go on and on. But David Solomon, the Goldman Sachs CEO, he is trying to tap the brakes on some of that fear a bit. And he told me that, yes, AI is going to hurt demand for office workers, but he's hopeful that the workforce is going to be able to evolve and adapt, right? As it has over time in the past with previous technological innovations, right? He pointed to the invention of the steam engine back in the 1700s, right? That paved the way for the first industrial revolution, but it did wipe out jobs in agriculture, stagecoach drivers, mill operators. And so Solomon, he told me that, yes, there will be disruption, but he said, I'm a big believer that our economy is very nimble, very flexible. And he said, you know, we find new businesses, we find new jobs. I don't believe this time will be different. Of course, as you guys know, that transition can be painful, maybe not for the CEO, but for the rank and file workers.
So the issue I think a lot of people have with artificial intelligence is not that there will be disruption, because like you said, there has always been a rebound. If an industry is disrupted, we as a society have adjusted fairly well. But it's the speed with which this is going to happen. And a lot of people believe it's going to be too fast for us to keep up. He doesn't have that sort of concern?
Solomon, he did acknowledge that, look, this is moving very quickly. And so there is a risk that the disruption is more significant early on, short-term disruption, than in the past. And I mean, the speed is a key part of this. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think, but it was really just 3 years ago that ChatGPT launched, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's got 800 million weekly active users, 800 million. It didn't even exist 3 years ago. And the parent company, OpenAI, it's reportedly laying the groundwork to try to go public in an IPO that could value it at up to $1 trillion. And obviously, some of these AI tools can just do pretty incredible things, right? Deep research that would normally take a human hours or days or even longer, it can do it in just seconds. And so you can see why there are these concerns about what it's going to mean for some office workers, especially some of the white collar jobs, such as customer service jobs, right? Some of those do look like they are most exposed to AI. But I would just stress that no one has a crystal ball here, right? Not the Fed, not Goldman Sachs, not even the CEOs of the leading edge AI labs, because again, this is just happening so fast.
Let's focus on the customer service for a second, because we've already experienced, I guess you could say, it's not necessarily poor AI, but just automation when we've been on the phone trying to get our questions answered. And AI would obviously be an enhanced and more detailed and specific version of that. But is there a chance that even if the technology advanced, there will be a societal desire for just human interaction, a current for human interaction enough that it counteracts some of the automated customer service elements?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I do think at the end of the day, people do crave that human interaction. They also crave answers and solutions, especially when they're in a bind. I spoke to an executive from an AI company at a conference in Las Vegas recently. And this executive told me that they have these customer service AI agents, and that they came to the rescue when there was a German airline that had to cancel every single flight earlier this year due to a strike in Germany. And this executive said that the AI agents were able to rebook everyone and do it in basically thousands of flights per minute were able to be rebooked because of the technology. And so, you know, in that instance, you can imagine when people who feel like they're stranded because of a strike and they want to get to where they need to go, you know, they're probably grateful to have that AI agent try to rebook them and get them on their way. Of course, there's other times where, yeah, you want to be talking to a human, especially sensitive things like you know, financial issues. You know, you're often going to want that human. But the AI executives argue there are these times when the robot customer service representatives could end up providing faster and sometimes even better answers.
CNN business reporter Matt Egan is with us on KMOX. And while this is, I think a lot of people are fearful that their jobs could be lost as a result of this, there's also the other end of it. There's opportunity for people who are investors that, you know, they could cash in on this one way or another. But there's also danger in investing that you could lose a lot of money. So how is that being viewed?
There's just so much excitement right now around a lot of those AI stocks, NVIDIA, Palantir, Oracle. Some of these companies have just gained incredible amounts of value in incredibly short amount of time. Of course, anytime you see something like that, some sort of boom like that, you do sort of wonder when it can get overdone. And there are some questions being raised on Wall Street in the last few weeks or so about just the valuations on some of these companies, whether or not it's starting to get out of hand. Even just today, we're seeing the stock market pull back a bit. And that's because some of those AI winners are down. Palantir Technologies, which has been among the biggest winners, losing 7% of its value today. And again, there's some questions about whether or not some of these stocks have gotten too expensive. And it's something that I did ask the Goldman Sachs CEO about these worries around a bubble. And he sort of told me he doesn't like the word bubble in the first place, but he did concede that, you know, at some point the exuberance could get overdone and that these companies are not going to go straight up in value. And there could be some bumps along the way. Of course, it's really hard to time any of that kind of stuff. Some of the comparisons have been made to the dot-com boom and bubble in the late 90s. Of course, that was different because those companies, a lot of them didn't have real businesses. They weren't even generating real revenue. And a lot of these companies do have real businesses and are generating revenue. So it's a little bit different. And one thing to remember is that some people point to that famous irrational exuberance speech from Alan Greenspan, where he was basically tapping the brakes on the dot-com bubble. But he made that speech back in 1996. And it was really another 3 years or so before the market ended up finally going down. And so that bubble kept inflating for years along the way. So that's another issue here, right? Is sometimes people see overexuberance, but it's really hard to time when there could be a market correction.
Yeah. And speaking of that exuberance, I mean, on one hand, you have guys like Sam Altman who have motivated reasoning when it comes to projecting what AI will do in the future, how many jobs it will replace, or how it will transform society. So I feel like you kind of have to take all of that with a grain of salt, even though their words really do affect the market. And then also what feels kind of bubbly is the self-investment of these AI companies investing in each other. And that feels like that could also be a concern.
Yes, that is something that has raised some eyebrows, is how some of these companies' business models and their financing is reliant on other AI companies. And so there's kind of a circular nature to some of this. And that is a behavior that I think we'll be watching, because it could be viewed as a sign that things may be starting to get out of hand. But I mean, the technology itself is often very impressive. And, you know, there is a reason why there's so much excitement. I mean, I mentioned the research that these companies can do, but I mean, they can that these chatbots can do, but there's also the ability to, I mean, they can compose music. They can generate really very realistic videos, almost Hollywood quality movies, and they can flag financial fraud sometimes before it can even get completed, almost the movie Minority Report. So some of the stuff it can do is very impressive. Obviously, there's instances where AI chatbots will make stuff up still. They're not always accurate. You do have to take what they say with a grain of salt, for sure. But it is moving quickly, and it's advancing very rapidly. But there's also bottlenecks, right? Remember how much energy these data centers that are at the center of the AI boom, they require insane amounts of power, to the point that some of the data centers are being located where the power generation is, right? Close to the natural gas plants or some of the other power plants. And that is going to be an issue, because it's causing demand for power to go up after a very long period of time where power demand didn't move at all. And so people are starting to get some sticker shock when they're opening up their electric bills every month. And how exactly we're going to power the AI boom is another one of those question marks that's still out there.
There's one of those fights that's going on right now, just a couple of miles from where this studio is in Midtown St. Louis. It was an old, there was a place that used to be a gathering spot, like a bar and events kind of place.
An old armory.
It's called the Old Armory, and there's an investor wants to turn it into a data center, and it's right in the middle of now what's sort of a residential commercial area, and people are saying no to it. So in terms of regulation, as we say goodbye here, the only thing it seems like could stand in the way of artificial intelligence is if it's heavily regulated by this government or other governments. Can you see that happening universally across the board? It seems like that's not really possible.
It seems like right now all the incentives are around who can build the fastest and smartest AI tools, and then do it again and again and again, right? There's this gold rush on Silicon Valley, in Silicon Valley and on Wall Street, for whoever can just build the best tools. And there's also this arms race, this national security arms race between the US and China. And again, it's all around who can build the best, smartest, fastest tools. And unfortunately, there's not nearly as much attention paid to some of the safety concerns around AI that doesn't have the guardrails, right? Whether it's the safety concerns because you're talking about AI powered cyber attacks, or AI tools that could get access to weapons systems, or other risks around AI. And right now, all the incentives are really around speed, not safety.
Matt Egan, CNN business reporter. I misspoke earlier. CNN business reporter, and you can, he's got a great piece on this on CNN.com. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope to talk to you again soon. I know there will be more issues to address.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That is Matt Egan with CNN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
So I'm not a big fan of Christmas music, but I did grow up on old country. I found a old record in my dad's collection that was called A Steel Guitar Christmas. And it was all Christmas music just played on a steel guitar. I still listen to it to this day.
Yes, but are you listening to it now? Have you already started? That's the whole point.
It's funny. One time my mom got a CD that was a steel drum Christmas. Like the Jamaica,
like the Beach Boys or something?
Like the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That started to turn into one song after a while. It all sounded the same. If you get enough Christmas songs that are only the steel drum, it starts to run in. One song runs into the other. We still laugh about the steel drum Christmas.
So here's what we need you to do. We need you to vote in our Twitter poll. It's our question of the week. And it will be up all week. When do you start listening to Christmas music? So follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX. And here are your options. After Halloween, is it after Thanksgiving, December only, or you never stop listening to Christmas music? Those are your options. So follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX. And of course, you can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. AUDACY, like David did. So we appreciate David's message.
What do you think of this?
I think it sucks. All right, are we done?
Imagine an hour of this.
Man, I'm good. So he said it was a steel guitar album?
Yeah.
Is that what you found? Is that what
you played for us? No, this is a steel drum.
Not that. When we came out of break.
Guitar. I don't know if it's the right one that he's talking about, but it was the steel guitar.
Okay.
Like a Christmas song.
All right, well, I wonder if he listens to it year-round, because that's really the question that we're asking.
My guess is no.
I'm good to go right after Halloween. I just and honestly, I could listen to it before. I could do Christmas tunes like mid-October, and I feel okay about it.
I just have to be completely honest. I'm not listening to Christmas yet, but I will start listening before Thanksgiving. I mean, to be honest, KEZK, our sister station, I think they're starting Christmas music in the next couple weeks. You would think so. It's November 4th. When did they start last year?
I thought it was early, but then I was told it wasn't,
I know,
so I don't remember.
I thought
remember.
It was early, and everyone said it was late, but let's say it's in the next couple of weeks. I mean, that's when the Christmas music season officially kicks off. I think, actually, Julie Tristan is like the Christmas music czar, officially, probably.
Oh, does she get to make the decision?
I think she does. I think she has a wand, and then, boom. Christmas music everywhere.
It doesn't seem like she should get that honor unilaterally.
Well, I think it is.
She should have to run it by somebody.
I think she ran it by the Odyssey company, one we work for.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe the union?
The union has nothing to do with this. But the union can get us into a movie film if it's done here in Missouri.
Speaking of union, Matt brought Hawaiian shirts.
Oh,
and he brought one for me to wear too, which I didn't put on, which is super rude because it was 90 degrees in the studio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They've cooled it down to like 84, I think, 82.
I think we're at 77 now.
But I was wondering, where's the union? Aren't they supposed to keep us from these kinds of working conditions?
Oh, well, I don't think
you are the union. That's you. That's on you guys, right?
No.
I'm the
We're
union?
We're in the union.
Yeah. So it's up to the union members to do something.
Well, I guess we should complain to the union. Do we get reimbursed or something? Do they file a complaint on our behalf?
I don't know, but I just
behalf?
Thought the
what
whole
happens?
Point was to keep us from working at 90 degrees in a studio.
Well, I think in our case, it's more of a making sure that we have a fair scale, that we are paid well enough.
Yeah, but the union should care about how hot it is.
Well, we're not working in sweatshops.
But we are now.
Not anymore. I think it feels nice and comfortable.
I drank 48 ounces of electrolyte water yesterday because I was sweating through the whole show. It was 90 degrees.
I think it feels really comfortable in here.
If people are wondering what the noise is, it's the fan.
So we'll be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And if you missed anything, you can get it on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app, or wherever you get your podcast, The Chris and Amy Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.